Welcome to this episode of The Accidental Mentor. My name is Charlene Garrett. This podcast is where we talk about how mentoring is many times intentional, but really, more often than not, it's accidental. And so you're joining in on a five-hour conversation. In the first episode, we met Julie, someone who I've been friends with for over 20 years. And we talk about how we met and a little bit about encouragement and how sometimes encouragement can actually be discouraging. You won't want to miss it. So if you missed that episode, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. This episode, we talk more about finance and budgeting, not just the boring parts of finance, which I consider pretty boring, but we get into the fact that I was just a little bit ahead of Julie in what I was teaching her. I was still learning and applying it as we were going along. And I think that's a really big piece of this conversation. So let's listen in.
Outside of my apartment. Right. I'm like, I'm step coming one. Here. Now you want me to do what? Like,
this is step one. Let's, baby steps, right? Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
It's funny that you mentioned trust, that you trusted me, so you trusted other people. The trust thing, I think, is interesting. Now, you know, in my current life, I teach a lot about trust and different aspects of trust. And a big piece of trust, which I would not have connected this then, I had no idea, is relationship. Like, we build trust through relationship. So we were doing other things. Like you mentioned, we spent a lot of time going out to dinner. Like, I remember taking you out to dinner different times. It was convenient. I was single. I didn't cook. I think I was living with Pat and Ken at the time. So I think I cooked in their kitchen once ever. So I probably ate out a lot. And we were just kind of spending time together. But not a lot of time. Like, I don't remember spending a whole lot of time. I remember, you know, getting messages from you and praying for you at different points. I don't think we texted. I don't think text was a big thing then. But like, but I do remember praying for you on the phone for different practical needs. What do you remember about that characterized our relationship back then during those early years?
I would agree. I think it was not as frequent, which is actually kind of different for me because most of my friendships or relationships, any kind of connection is always like, real hard, real fast. Like, we're going to connect. Like you mentioned, you know, I talked about earlier when I kind of share like, oh, this and a lot of times that's, I think you called it the emotional striptease once, like take it all off. And if they reject you, then they weren't going to stay anyway. Right. And so that's kind of what I didn't realize I was doing. And so having someone who would consistently show up. Now, you would show up. However, I would definitely ignore you. And I was making life choices that I did not want your opinion on. Or to have to talk to you about, right? So if you're like, well, you've been, I can't lie. Like, I have a really hard time, which is good. We're not supposed to lie. Don't lie. I couldn't even talk to you if I was doing something that I knew wasn't good for me, where I knew, you know, went against God's teachings. And so even if I didn't know necessarily what they all were yet, I knew it was wrong. And so I wouldn't talk to you, but you were always there. So you did, you met like tangible needs. I remember, I think you bought me multiple used tires for my car, at least one, I know, but probably multiple. But it was not always like, you know, every day or every week. And that was actually, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but that was good because I had never done that. It was always very short, overbonded friendships that just would go away. And that was kind of the cycle that I expected. The thought of me having someone in my life for 20 years, I never would have thought that would be something that I could maintain. Because usually my choices are their choices because the people I would, I'm not sure how I drew you in because I was fishing in a totally different pond of people in that season of my life. And they would do things and we'd friendships over. And that's what I expected. I didn't expect to have a long-term mentor friend.
We did. I'm sure that I kind of came back to, okay, let's do this thing and let's try. We probably read a little bit of it and talked about something else.
Yeah.
You know, I think about that season of my life. And even though you didn't realize all these things, like, I was going through a ton of stuff myself. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was working for UPS, trying to get into medical school, afraid, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, struggling with my own finances. learning more about myself. I always often talk about my season in Texas as my inner healing season, where I spent, 8 years dropped off in the desert, and I kept wanting to get out of Texas. Most of the time I lived there, I wanted to leave. And I liked the people, but I was ready to go. I was ready to go overseas. I was ready to go somewhere. And the Lord wasn't letting me. He's like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to hang out for a little bit. But it was sporadic. I mean, I remember that occasionally I'd be like, hey, I wonder what's happening to Julia. God would bring you to my mind and I would pray for you and I would reach out. And if it was radio silence, I started to learn that that meant that something was going on and that you'd come back, you'd reach out to me when you resurfaced again. I had no idea about your mental health challenges at the time. I didn't understand anything about mental health at all, even my own. And I just was kind of like going from day to day. And then there would either be a practical need, like electricity being shut off. I remember that being a call one time. Or the tire, like I have a flat tire. I think I changed your tire. I've never changed my own tire in my entire life. I've had lots of flat tires, but I've never changed my own tire.
You did change it. That's accurate. You did.
Well, because my plan, so this is what my plan is. When my tire's flat, I go to the car and I start to get out all the stuff. And usually wherever my flat tire's flat, literally like on the side of the highway in various states, some man usually stops and does my tire, like fixes my tire. So I started to do that. Your tire was flat at your apartment. I remember it was in the parking lot of wherever you were living at the time. And so I started to do this and nobody helped.
It's because you were supposed to help me.
We had to like... fix it. And then you said, well, I'm going to buy a used tire. And I was like, they sell used tires? I didn't even know that that was a thing. And you're like, yeah,
$20.
Right down the street. And we got a used tire, $20 used tire, and put it on there. And I learned about used tires. It was a funny time to be like, oh, okay, let's change the tire.
I love that you talked about you were struggling with your finances back then, because I also had no clue. I have a vivid memory of us sitting down. I had a green book and we were doing me a budget. And so the fact that you were actually struggling with your finances at the same time that I'm like, there's no way I can budget. I don't have any money. And you're sitting down with me, like showing me how to do it. And at the same time, still struggling with yourself. I find that interesting because I had no clue. I thought you totally knew how to budget. You're making solid life choices. You were at UPS, medical school. Like all of that to me sounds incredible. I was like a couple years into being on disability, trying to go to junior college. I did not. Like I was so anxious. And I said that earlier, but I was on disability. Like the government deemed me that anxious. Or mentally unstable, I guess, at the time. And so someone who had a job at UPS and... that seemed pretty fancy to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of one of the things that I want to keep telling and encouraging people is you don't have to have everything together to help somebody else. I mean, you may be a few steps ahead. So I was a few steps ahead in that respect. At that point, I was working full time at UPS. I was probably part-time when we met and I got promoted and I took a full-time job that was making more money than I made for many, many years at that point. And I moved in from an apartment where I was paying a lot to living with a family. So my expenses reduced, but I was trying to pay off my student loans and get out of debt. I don't think I had met Dave Ramsey yet or heard about Dave Ramsey, but I was still like, okay, I know I've got $10,000 student loans. So let me pay them off while I'm in deferment. Going to grad school. And so just during that season, there was different aspects, but definitely no one taught me about finances. No one taught me how to budget. I was trying to figure it out. My parents, I grew up with my parents working really hard, but always living in debt. Like that was what they knew. And I had no idea that, like we were middle income for sure, but not, not super wealthy.
Top of the middle.
And I do remember us talking about your budget. And the thing that was shocking to me was, were the things that you owed at the time mm-hmm. that as, and I think it was shocking to you too, because the more questions I asked and the more that you started to write down, I think I remember you getting a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I also remember this being over a chicken finger dinner of some sort.
Yeah.
Somewhere, wherever we were. And I don't think it went much further after that.
No, my budget.
After that one meeting, did we ever talk about it again?
No, it was a solid plan though. We had a great plan. And I think it was more at that point, you were just kind of showing me awareness, but there was no, like, I basically, you know, I got a check once a month, I would pay everything and then I would just be broke. And that's kind of what I learned. I didn't tithe back then. I didn't like the thought of trusting God with 10% of my very, very little amount. There's a story about that somewhere. I didn't understand how to do that. And so I was terrified.
There's a story about
that. I was absolutely terrified. But I wanted to do it because I was like, okay, Charlene budgets. This must be a valid thing to do. She always has tire money. Let's do this. And it just fell away because I never actually at that point trusted the Lord with my finances. I was just going through the exercise.
You bring up tithing. Do you remember when you started tithing? Or if we talked about it then, or if it was many years later, or do you remember like consciously making a decision to tithe?
I do. Well, it might have happened before in the beginning, but it was very sporadic and I don't remember enough. But I remember you basically told me to double dog dare God. Oh no, that is true. I did tithe back then. I don't remember the circumstance, but I remember you were like, there's scripture. You can double dog dare God not to basically take care of you if you trust him with this money. And even in that, I did not trust the Lord. I trusted you that you knew that that was true. And so I did it. And I think like, oh gosh, I was so scared. But right after that, like I got a gift of some money and then the church, the house church, the bell bondsmen, they actually were paying me weekly. They gave me a job to weekly clean the church. And so I would go up there every Saturday and clean and set the chairs
That's
up.
Right.
And so that was like my first experience going, okay, wait a minute. Like, all these things I just got, I didn't think were going to happen. But in that moment, I think I kind of connected it to tithing. And then I lost sight of that being a real thing. But years later, probably almost a decade later, like right before I really got freedom, I was so broke and I had no money to pay bills. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I had like $20 and way more bills to pay than that. And I just felt the Lord telling me just to trust him and to tithe. No idea where to tithe. And so I'd been to this church because I was trying to go to church. So I'd gone to a few of them. This was when I was in Pensacola. So I just picked the last one I went to. I went online and I gave him my $20. And I just gave it. And then right after that, I was looking in a jewelry box of my grandmother's that I literally had since I was 13. And I'm probably 32 at the time. I mean, I've had this almost 20 years. And I went to look in there and I found a diamond ring. And I was like, there's no way, because I had been through this jewelry box as a drug addict to find money. I had pawned everything I've owned at some point in my life. So having this one like diamond ring, I mean, I was able to sell it and get everything paid for that I needed. But it was just so weird to me that I just literally didn't see it for 20 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was, since then I've been tithing and God is very, very faithful.
He is very faithful. And it's interesting how I think one of the things that as we talk through this conversation, I'm remembering and I can think about my own life. Sometimes there's just seeds of things, right? Mm-hmm. That happen that then really take root later. And in our relationships and as we meet people, it's those little seeds and we don't give them a lot of credit sometimes because they're passing things. Because at the time, by the time I met you in my late 20s, I was constantly challenging myself to tithe as well. And I was, you know, probably personally getting into the nuances of, okay, before or after taxes, you know, do I tithe here? Do I tithe there? When do I, you know, what do I do? Versus just, hey, let's do this. This is a principle that I, you know, I knew my parents did it when they became believers. I became a Christian when I was 12. My parents came to know the Lord after me. And after that point, I know that they always wrote that check first, you know? And so I just remember that was the first check that they would write every month, was to tithe. So I constantly was challenging myself, though sometimes I also didn't, you know, tithe or give
when I needed to. You mentioned something else I think is funny that you said, it shocked you. You're like, what? You didn't sometimes? Yes, I didn't. I have failed. I have definitely failed God. I've robbed God. And he has been gracious to me. But you mentioned that you trusted me, trusting God. You didn't necessarily just trust God. I teach now a lot about trust, and I call that borrowed trust. Like, you were borrowing at that point trust of God because you trusted me until you could get to the place where you just had this relationship with him and trusted him. We do that all the time now. We borrow trust of people. Mm-hmm. Like, we use Yelp or other, you know, Amazon stars is borrowing trust of people we don't even know. About buying something.
I'm not real sure that's
50,000 people said this was a 5-star, so I guess it's a good...
Yeah.
Bots, computer bots.
Yeah.
I'm borrowing the computer bot. We think it's people.
Yeah. Makes us feel better that other
or
people...
Or when you're finding a church or a doctor or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, other people tested it first. Hmm. Wow, what a great conversation. I lived it, and I still am learning from listening again to what we had to say in this conversation. I am impacted most in that last episode by tithing and how Julie talked about how tithing really impacted her life. It was so common to me at the point that by the time I met Julie, that it didn't even occur to me that that would be so, so impactful. Has it been impactful to you? Do you have a tithing story? Please share with us what you've learned throughout your life about tithing. Comments on YouTube, you can contact me through social media. All of that is in the show notes. Please, while you're there, like, subscribe, review, share, all the things so that more people can hear about the Accidental Mentor. In this next episode, we're going to talk more about Julie's life. You're going to hear more of her story. And she goes deeper into when a shift in mindset happened, where she really began to believe what God was saying about her. It's really, really interesting. We also talk a little bit about the tensions that I went through of when to help and when to hold back and wait. And we just talk all around that. It's a wonderful conversation. Just remember that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to its day of completion. This has been The Accidental Mentor. My name is Charlene Garrett. Thanks for listening.